On Palm Sunday, Jesus processes into Jerusalem. The crowds give him everything: their donkey, their coats, their praises while they wave branches. The people call Jesus king. They bestow upon him divinity. They sing truths that they do not fully understand. The crowds give Jesus their voice to such an extent that the religious leaders tell him to order them to stop. What does Jesus do with all that he receives? He gives it away. 5 days later, on the Thursday that Christians will call Maundy, for the mandate that Jesus gives on that day for us to love each other, Jesus celebrates his Last Supper. As he dines with the people who will soon betray him, deny him, and abandon him, Jesus offers them bread, saying that it is his body. Jesus offers them wine, saying that it is his blood. Having received all glory, laud, and honor from us, Jesus shows he truly is our Savior and King because he gives it all back to us, starting with his very self. What generosity! What love! To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his very body. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done.
Among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves."
On Palm Sunday, Jesus sends his disciples to find a colt, a young donkey, that has never been ridden, and to simply untie it and take it. A donkey is someone's vehicle, the equivalent of a car. Most people aren't keen on strangers taking the keys of their new car and driving off. So Jesus gives his disciples this reassurance. If anyone asks you, "Why are you untying it?" just say this: "The Lord needs it." I do not know what is more baffling, that Jesus' disciples are willing to make off with a stranger's donkey, or that when the donkey's owners catch them in the act, the owners accept the explanation that the Lord needs it. On Palm Sunday, people serve Jesus unquestioningly. 5 days later, Jesus says that the leader must become like the one who serves, and then he declares that he is among his disciples as one who serves. Most of us would love to have people wait on us hand and foot. When given that option, Jesus instead becomes our servant. On Palm Sunday, people give Jesus their service. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus gives it back. What generosity, what love! To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his service. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent,
the stones would shout out.
May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done.
Thank you.
who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
On Palm Sunday, the crowds lay down their cloaks before Jesus as he processes into Jerusalem. This is the same action done in 2 Kings chapter 9, when the soldiers of the general Jehu lay down their cloaks before him to pledge their loyalty to him as the new king of Israel. By spreading out their cloaks before Jesus, the crowds are proclaiming their loyalty to him. 5 days later, Jesus tells Simon Peter that Peter will betray Jesus three times. But Jesus doesn't tell Peter this in anger. Jesus tells Peter that he will be praying for Peter, for his faith. Jesus prays that though Peter will deny Jesus, his faith may not fail, that he might turn back to Christ and strengthen his fellow disciples. How many of us, when we feel betrayed, want to get even? Jesus wants his betrayer to get better. Peter is not loyal to Jesus, but Jesus is loyal to Peter. On Palm Sunday, people give their loyalty to Jesus. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus gives it back. What generosity, what love to his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his loyalty. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these stones were silent,
stones would shout out.
May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done.
When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said, no, not a thing. He said to them,
but now, the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied,
it is enough.
On Palm Sunday, the crowd shout praises for all the deeds of power that they had seen Jesus do. The crowds give Jesus a reputation, and a good one. That reputation allows Jesus to preach in the temple of Jerusalem, even when the priests in charge of that temple despise him. 5 days later, Jesus tells his disciples to get a purse full of money, a bag of supplies, and a sword. Jesus knows that his disciples are about to have a run-in with the police. In today's terms, he tells them to get a briefcase full of cash, a duffel bag, and a gun. These are items guaranteed to make him seem like a criminal. Jesus says that he does this so that he will be counted among the lawless, just as the scriptures foretell. Most of us work our whole lives to be associated with people of good reputation. Jesus works to be associated with those on whom we bestow a bad reputation. that Christ may be found even among criminals. On Palm Sunday, the people give Jesus a good reputation. On Maundy Thursday, he gives it back. What generosity, what love. To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his reputation. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent,
the stones would shout out.
May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done.
To the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed,
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done."
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
On Palm Sunday, the people praise Jesus, saying, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." They are proclaiming that Jesus brings heaven's peace and glory. They're giving Jesus a status of divinity. 5 days later, Jesus prays, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." God does not remove the cup from Jesus. God sends an angel to strengthen Jesus to accept the Father's will instead of his own. The crowds proclaim Jesus as divine, but he has made himself deeply human to the point of dripping sweat and blood in anguish at the Father's will. Most of us pray that God accomplish our will. Though Jesus knows it will mean his own mortal suffering and death, Jesus accepts the Father's will. For the Father's will is that in Jesus, the divine becomes human, so that humans might become divine. On Palm Sunday, people give Jesus divinity. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus gives it back. What generosity, what love. To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his divinity. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent,
the stones would shout out.
May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done.
Prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
"Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?"
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with a sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs as though I were a rebel? When I was with you, day after day in the temple. You did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
On Palm Sunday, the crowds praise Jesus, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They call Jesus King because that is what they thought the Messiah would be, a king who would ride into battle on a war horse to defeat the Roman oppressors and make Israel an independent kingdom once more. By calling Jesus King, the crowds give him earthly might. 5 days later, we learn exactly what Jesus intends his disciples to do with swords, not use them. Jesus made sure that his disciples were armed and equipped for violent resistance to his arrest. Jesus does this so that he can tell them not to do it. The earthly use of might to defend Jesus is always a choice, one that we as people have made again and again throughout history. But Jesus rejects this choice. Jesus doesn't need swords to bring about his kingdom. He has the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives away earthly might that we may receive heavenly power. On Palm Sunday, the people give Jesus earthly might. On Maundy Thursday, he gives it back. What generosity, what love. To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his power. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent,
the stones would shout out.
May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done.
The high priest's house, but Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a female servant, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Women, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him,
"Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
On Palm Sunday, the crowds proclaim Jesus a divine king worthy of praise, loyalty, and service. Though they misunderstand it, on Palm Sunday, the disciples give Jesus the truth. 5 days later, though their words are still true, their hearts prove otherwise. Neither the crowds nor the disciples are true in their service, their loyalty, nor their praise. They are untrue in their declaration that Christ is their divine king. Peter goes so far as to even deny knowing Jesus. And yet, in the midst of these lies, Jesus has given Peter the truth that he will deny Jesus 3 times before the cock crows. That we praise Jesus when it is easy and deny Jesus when it is inconvenient is a painful truth. But it is true all the same. Jesus always gives us truth. On Palm Sunday, the people give Jesus the truth. On Maundy Thursday, he gives it back. What generosity, what love. To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his truth. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent,
the stones would shout out.
May even our hardest heart speak of what Christ has done.
Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophecy, who is it? Who struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
On Palm Sunday, the crowds praise Jesus with a loud voice. They make such a ruckus that the religious leaders tell Jesus to quiet them. But they won't give up their voice. 5 days later, the crowds will not give Jesus their voice, and neither will Jesus. People mock Jesus, blindfolding him and asking him to use his supposedly divine powers to point out who hit him. Jesus could have done so, but he stays silent. The religious council asks Jesus point blank if he's the Messiah, but Jesus isn't interested because he knows they aren't interested. When they ask if he's the Son of God, Jesus' only answer is, "You say that I am." Jesus won't proclaim himself the Son of God, the Messiah, our Savior. That's for us to do. It is for that that God gave us a voice. On Palm Sunday, the people give Jesus their voice. On Maundy Thursday, he gives it back. What generosity, what love. To his disciples, to us, Jesus gives his voice. Should not his disciples tell all the world? Yet I tell you, if these were silent,
the stones would shout out.
May even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done. The Jewish faithful believe that when the resurrection of all the dead occurs, it will begin on the Mount of Olives that overlooks Jerusalem. For that reason, for thousands of years, the Mount of Olives has been covered in thousands of graves. It is through these graves that Jesus rode his donkey down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jerusalem is a desert climate. Instead of leaving flowers on the graves, the people of Jerusalem leave stones. When Jesus says that if his disciples were silent, even these stones would shout out, he is referring to the stones upon the graves. Sometimes, to speak Christ's truth in a world of lies, it feels like we need to have a good reputation. Sometimes, to proclaim King Christ as king in a world of tyrants, it feels like we need an army. Sometimes to proclaim Jesus as God in a world of idols, it feels like we need a louder voice. Jesus says that even the stones who have nothing but the graves they sit on can proclaim him. For the grave itself will soon be his testimony. Friends, when it feels like you have nothing, remember how much more you have than these stones. Jesus has given you his service. Jesus has given you his loyalty. Jesus has given you his reputation. Jesus has given you his royalty, his divinity, and his truth. Jesus has given you his voice. When we gather next week, the grave itself will have opened its mouth in a shout that still echoes around the world to set people free and give them life. May we join our voice to the voice of the stones of the grave, that even our hardest hearts speak of what Christ has done. Amen.